domingos está un poco fastidiado escucharme todos los domingos, pero ahí es lo que es. Bueno, fue más un mensaje, va a ser breve. Estaremos hablando del tema de empezar a orar, pedirle a Dios comunicar con Dios, ¿verdad? Y con eso, damas y caballeros, sabemos que tenemos un Dios que escucha nuestras oraciones, ¿verdad? Tenemos un Dios que demuestra que está vivo, que es todopoderoso y que también es omnisciente, que todo lo sabe, ¿verdad? Y bueno, por eso los dejo con una pregunta. Sabemos todos que Dios nos escucha, que está con nosotros. Y mi pregunta es si sabemos eso, ¿qué es lo que oramos? ¿Qué es lo que rezamos? ¿Qué es lo que le pedimos? ¿Y verdad? ¿Cómo nos comunicamos? Y un anuncio más. Queremos empezar un live group en español. Y quería animar a todos que quisieran asistir, estuvieran interesados, que al fin de servicio me buscaran para hablar sobre eso. Nos gustaría empezar uno pronto. Por favor, si están interesados,
If you are, for those of you who are guests, we have a number of people in our church, both services, that English is somewhat of a second language. I get to speaking very fast, you're going to find that out. And that many times they miss the point. So Gustavo goes over the sermon, basically. Unfortunately, if you did speak Spanish, you can now leave because you knew what the service is about, but you don't, so you're here. Those of you who do speak Spanish, please just sit down because you may not understand what I'm saying. So that's okay. No, we appreciate so much. And at the end there, I think I caught Uno Mas, live group, that if you're interested in a Spanish-speaking live group, if that would be something that would just fit a need that you may have, see Doug or Gustavo. You better see Gustavo probably about that if you're going to speak Spanish. But that's a possibility as well. We're looking at exploring that thought as well. Let me make this recap a couple of announcements. We have baptism next week, next Sunday night, as we have a fifth. If you're interested in being baptized, we have a number who are. Just see me after the service with Pastor Paul, and we'll work you in. It's going to be a great night next week as we come together at a praise gathering. We just have our Tracy campus is going to join us. The bands are going to be united. The worship teams are going to be doing a lot together. It's just going to be a great night. I'm going to ask you, we're having the potluck dessert. So instead of us buying dessert this time, you bring a dessert Sunday night, we're just going to spread it out. We're going to have a family reunion together. It'll be a wonderful time. So I encourage you to be here. We'll be having baptism. If you've never been baptized, we'd love to have that outward demonstration of an inward change taking place in your life. Also, and some are saying, next week at the Tracy campus, maybe at 10 o'clock, Grand Canyon University is going to be there with the New Life Singers. And so they're going to be in that campus this year, not here. So if you would like to go to Tracy, their 10 o'clock service, at Tracy for the New Life Singers will be the majority of the service. However, this is what Pastor Ben said, okay, as only Pastor Ben can. I don't want you to come unless you bring somebody else. And he was not talking about the person sitting next to you here. He's saying reach out as the New Life Singers from Grand Canyon. They are fantastic. Dan Salazar is their director. They'll be at the Tracy campus 10 o'clock next week. And so if you want to go, you're welcome to go to that campus. But Ben said you better show up with someone else. All right? Or you may just get the out. I don't know. But that's Pastor Ben. We're starting a series on prayer. And prayer is one of those things that I often wrestle with because it's really one of those things that I don't know that you need to know much more about prayer than just pray. Maybe the message ought to be contained just in that one word, pray, let's go home. Pray, go home. And when you think about it, you don't pray. Just pray that we need the people to pray. And sometimes, even as I prepared for this series, I realized sometimes we don't need to hear any more theology about prayer. We don't need to know any more about prayer. We just need to do it. It's one of those things that we can know a lot in our head and yet walk away and never do it. That we just pray. That we just spend time talking to God. And I know that I've been in churches where they make prayers. I have friends who lead prayer ministries. That's what they do. And I think prayer is heavy. I don't think prayer is heavy. I think prayer is just talking to God. That's what prayer is. But the difference is you're talking to God. I encourage people when they're having a hard time concentrating in prayer to write it down. I journal. I write my prayers. I write them down, I journal, and here's God. Because sometimes the bats in my belfry just need to be aligned, and I can't do it until I write it down. But the issue of prayer is one of those things, and you've heard this phrase, so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Really? I don't know that I've seen people who are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I've seen people so theologically minded that they're no earthly good at all or heavenly good at all because they're just theologians. I've seen people so denominational minded that they don't do anything for the kingdom of God. I've seen people who are so family minded, family, work, play, but heavenly minded. When people are heavenly minded, one of the things we will do if we have heaven on our hearts is that we will pray. That we will pray for those around us, we will pray for the environment, we will pray for the environment we live in, the people we live in, the sphere of influence. We see God's character of who we know God is. We see his character revealed in the titles that he has, one, given himself, and two, that others give him. These are known as attributes, the attributes of God. And how we see them, and we see all of these titles, there's a lot of them, you can hear them. God is a God of mercy, God is a God of compassion, care, healer, grace, holiness, justice, jealous, all these characteristics that describe God. There's a bunch of immutability, doesn't change. Those characteristics don't change. But there's one that is known of God, we will know it of God, but I fear it's seldom used, and I think it is the issue of prayer. In Psalm 65:2, it's written, "O you who hear prayer." You who hear prayer. See, God hears our prayer. You say, well, no doubt. No doubt. Well, thank you, that's it. He is a prayer-hearing God. But let me just tell you something, folks. If we do not understand this, if you do not fully understand and grasp the fact that God hears your prayer, you will never, ever be certain and have confidence that God is a prayer-answering God. We're not going to talk about answers this morning. We're going to talk about hearing. But God is a God who hears. And you have to understand that he hears and what he hears, so that you can have confidence that when you go before the throne of God, that God has not turned a deaf ear to you. He's not afraid of your prayer. He's not afraid of any emotion you may have. That God hears you no matter what. Now this morning, I'm going to challenge some of you. Some of you are going to walk back and say, I don't believe that. And that's okay. Go to the Word and figure it out. I'm going to tell you what I believe God's Word says about the issue of hearing and a God who hears prayer. All prayer. He hears it. As in his attributes, it is never diminishing. God is a God of love. His love never diminishes to be a God of justice. God is a God of mercy. God is immutable. He doesn't change. It's not like he has these tanks and he takes out of love and pretty soon it's getting down towards empty and you may be out of luck. It never diminishes. And the same with a hearing God. God's hearing never goes deaf. He doesn't need a hearing aid. All the prayers around the world today that are going and filling the throne room of God, that we can come right before him, he hears everyone, has it all figured out, dialed in. He knows that God is a God who hears your prayer. Now listen, prayer is universal. Everyone prays or will. You say, I don't believe it. No, everyone will. Because we know in God's Word, it says that there's going to come a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And they'll be praying, believe at that point. But even today, prayer is something that people do. Prayer is something that they see. They used to be the old adage, there's no atheists in foxholes. You get there, boy, it may be because of fear or whatever, but we come to this issue. And in fact, we know that because in Psalm 65, the same verse, it goes on to say that you, all men, will come. All men. The God who hears prayer, all men will come. I wonder at that time, who is all? Does that mean the Jews will come, the Romans will come, the Egyptians will come, the slave, the free, the Greeks? Who's going to come? All men will come. Obviously, we look at that and say, okay, well, yeah, all men come. Believers come, yes. Unbelievers? Do all men come? Unbelievers pray. All the issues of this God who hears prayer, that all men will come. Now, you may have no big deal with that. You say, I pray. Man, I gotta pray. He's my lifeline. But there's some big questions, and I'm going to answer very quickly. And it's interesting how when I'm preparing for a series which people don't even know, I'm confronted with questions at times that lead right into the series that I'm preparing for. And this is going to push some of you who, because I know I've had conversations with some of you didn't know we were going to the series, so I'm not picking on you, it's just that you didn't know, and I've already had this in the can. But the point being, I want to answer some of the questions here that I think the big questions. First off, do unbelievers pray? Absolutely. I mean, given the situation, unbelievers will pray. Be it because of fear, turmoil, whatever, they will pray. They don't know God, but they pray. They pray if there is a God, they pray. The issue of that, does God hear? Believer's prayer? Absolutely. Now, we have a problem with that. Does God hear the unbeliever's prayer? Absolutely. Some of you will have a problem with that. God hears, the God who hears all prayer. The God who hears, he is a prayer-hearing God. He hears them all, the unbeliever's prayer as well. Does God answer prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely, he answers prayer. I don't often see how. We may not see it in this life. It may be if we look back and see that. But the unbeliever as well, does God answer? Hang on here. The unbeliever's prayer. Yes, he does. You see, you're thinking. No, first off, he often answers the prayer of salvation. There's no doubt about that. But some of you have this concept that the only prayer that God hears from those who are sinners is the sinner's prayer. And you are wrong. He hears all prayer. He is a God-hearing prayer. And they may come to him out of need, they may come out of turmoil, they may come out of whatever it may be, but they come to him out of fear, out of weakness. September 11th, we heard it in Boston again. Oh my God! Oh my God. That's prayer. Oh my God. Some people come to God and say, oh my God. They don't realize it. Some of you are here, you go, oh my God. Awesome God. We come to the issue of prayer, we look at this, and we say, wow, I don't. But listen, I think there's an interesting concept here. When unbelievers pray to the God they're going to pray, you know what I believe? They are going to pray to the God they see in you. The God they see in you. Why are we the visible representation of Christ? Why are we the visible representation of love? Because they're going to say, you know, look at his life and he prays. I want to pray to that God. I want to pray to that God because they're seeing a change in his life. No one can break the change in Brian's life unless there be a God. I'm going to pray to his God. And then unbeliever may look at our life and say, wow, I don't know, but I'm going to. And many times you'll hear people say, we're going to pray, and I pray. Because they see God in our lives. Now, for those of you who are, you know, just let me just take a little caveat here for 3 minutes and just give you a little problem. Those who are saying, no, he didn't hear this sinner's prayer. Go to Genesis chapter 16, verses 20, 16, chapter 16 to 20. Read about Hagar, the Egyptian, Abraham's hand servant. She was a slave. Many will believe she was not of the household of faith. And they sent her out. And because Sarah said, no, I don't want her in the house, they go out. She has Ishmael, the son. They are going to die. Ishmael, she leaves him in the brush because she can't watch her son die. And she prays to God, and God hears her and answers her and says, guess what? You're not dying today. You're going back. You're going back to Abraham and say, suck it up, buttercup. He didn't really say it that way. But that's what it was saying. And Hagar went back as an unbeliever. God heard her prayer and answered her prayer. You say, well, I will fight that because maybe she had come to no faith through Abraham. Okay, I'll give you that. I'll go to look at Jonah. You can't fight this one because Jonah decided he did know God. And God said, he wants you to go to Nineveh and preach this group because you see I talk fast, don't you? So you can see why some people will lose my point. Jonah goes back to Nineveh and says, I didn't want to Nineveh. I'm going to go to Tarshish the other direction. He gets out there and all of a sudden the wind is coming. Woo-hoo, we're having a storm and a gale. And it says those who are unbelievers, they heal them. The men who do not believe, look at us and say, what is going on here? What is going on? And Jonah says, it's my God. Oh, great. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, how do we solve this God? How do we appease this God? Throw me out of the boat. No, we can't do that. That'd be certain death. We're not going to throw you out of the boat. You're dead. Well, the storm gets worse. It will just grow harder. So they try growing harder and shorter. As hard as they row, it wouldn't work. Pretty soon, they prayed to Jonah's God and then tossed him out of the boat. They tossed him out of the boat. And you go back to Jonah, you'll read it. Guess what they did then? They did not know Jonah's God. They only saw the God that Jonah served or was chasing him when the calm seas took over and the big fish came and grabbed him. There it was, Jonah said. And you know what those unbelieving men did? It says that they made a sacrifice. They didn't even know exactly to what. And they prayed to God. The New Testament, man born blind. It's a great story because people think, well, you know, he's talking to God. They say, well, tell us who this guy is. Well, I didn't see him. I was blind. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I can see. I did not see him. I don't know who he was. But obviously he can't be a sinner because you guys couldn't heal me. No one else could heal me. They came and they healed me. I'm blind. I was blind. Now I see. You heard my prayer. My prayer's been answered. Later on in that chapter, you find that Jesus comes to the man born blind. And says, what happened? I was blind, but now I see this dude came along, you know, and told me to go and walk. And I got sight. I have sight. He says, do you know who you believe? No, I've never seen the guy. I was blind at the time. He's standing in front of me. And at that moment, his prayer to our guilt. At that moment, He says, at that moment, I believe in the Son of God. See, the issue here, why? Why would Jesus, whether he is answering your prayer and my prayer, whether he is answering an unbeliever, using a situation in an unbeliever's life, it's all to bring him glory. It is all to draw men to him. Now, some of you say, I just can't believe that God, a God would listen to all that. And listen, even when those who pray do not know the one to whom they pray, it is still wondrous grace when God decides in his sovereignty to move in that life, whether they see it or not. And it may be that that is what draws them to him. It may be that's what is going to see in the glory of his life. Say, wow, look what I pray. Look at this. There must be a God. There must be that God. But beyond that, I believe is that what they see in us is going to draw them to the God that we pray to. What they see in us is what's going to draw them to say, I need to pray. Because so-and-so encouraged me to, and he prayed or she prays, and I want to pray to that God. And they may not even know what God is. Matthew chapter 5 tells us that the rain comes, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And that bugs some of us if we write books about why do good things happen to bad people. We don't like that. The reality is, why does anything good happen to any of us? Any of us. None of us are good. None of us are merited. God gives you his grace regardless. He causes it to rain. He gives us that. He answers prayer. We have a prayer hearing God. We have a prayer hearing God. Let me quickly run through what we see of the attributes of knowing God. When we know that we have a prayer-hearing God, when we can actually identify that he hears your prayer, don't get hung up on the theological talk that I just gave you about, that you hear this, and go home and study. But listen to me, because the application is here. When we understand that we have a prayer-hearing God, we understand that we have a living God. A living God. We do not have time to go back to look at Kings and look at the prophets of Baal. Elijah saying, hey, you know, here's your sacrifice, call up, you know, the God of fire. He's the God of fire. Have him rain down fire and soak up the and consume all this stuff. Nothing happened. Hey, maybe you need to yell a little louder. Hello? There, maybe he's gone out for a picnic. You know, knock on the door, do something. Because he wasn't real. We have a living God. It's not made of wood or elements. He is alive. It's a living God. We can see that by answered prayer. We have an omniscient God. And we need to understand that. That God knows all things. He knows the beginning and the end. We only see a small glimpse of that. James 4 tells us we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We do not know. Our life is a vapor, little time and gone. But God sees it. Sometimes we think, well, God didn't answer my prayer. He may have, he may be waiting, we may not know. We may not see it until we get to heaven. But not only do we have an omniscient God, he sees the things that we don't. He's omnipotent. He is powerful. He is powerful. He is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of you. He's the creator of me. And if that creator who can make the sun stand still and create this universe, but the greatest change, the greatest thing he's done in our life is he changed your life. I look around this room and I just change lives. And that's the greatest evidence of a living, omniscient, omnipotent God whose lives have been changed. But guess what? We can also see that when we pray, he's a God who hears, is that he has unlimited resources, infinite, unlimited resources. Love, mercy, enhance all of his grace. None of us are deserving. We live in a fallen world, and some of the things we see, some of the things we will very pray about, will make no sense. There's been things in my life that I pray about. There are things in my life now that I pray about that absolutely make no sense. And all I can do is say, we live in a fallen world, and I can have two responses. I can get angry at God, or I can say, God, you're an omniscient, all-powerful God. I can't see the beginning of him. I'm going to take it to you. And put your force and be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But give it to God. Pray. And folks, we have a God who hears. He hears you today. I think it's interesting that he never commanded us to sing without ceasing. I think that's good for some of you, Chuck Carpenter. Sorry, three of us, but I think it's interesting, it's coming back at you right here, all right? It's coming to me right now. Never were we told or commanded to preach without ceasing. Thank you. I knew Chuck would just go with it. You know, that we're not told to preach without ceasing. We're not told to, you know, to sit without ceasing. We're not told to work without ceasing. But we are told to pray with Alcee's. Great coach. The apostles, as they came into Pentecost, the first thing that they were told is that they were given to pray. Not given to go visit this, but they were given to pray. Solomon finished the temple, and it says he dedicated the temple. God was awaiting the aroma of prayer. That was what was most important. Philippians 4 says, as I said, don't be anxious to pray. Folks, today, you have a God who hears. You have a God. I have a God. Do not be afraid. Guess what? He is not afraid of any of your children. When you pray to God, some of you, when you talk to God, I think prayer is just talking to God. You realize that. And some of you get all heebie-jeebie when I say, you know, if you're mad at God, tell him. That's blasphemy to be mad at God. Is it? I'm a blasphemer. Because I've been mad at God at times. God, I don't see this. I don't understand this. God says, he you say you bring everything. Bring everything to him. To pray continually. That he is a God who hears prayer. That he is a God that all men will come to. And as we come to him and we honestly seek him, as we'll look at the weeks to come, the answer will change us. The answer will change us. The greatest antidote for your anger is to pray to God. That's the greatest antidote you'll ever find. The greatest antidote to the things in your life is when we take it before God and say, God, man, I'm this way, I'm that way, my life is miserable, it sucks right now. God, that's the greatest antidote is to come to God and say, God, here I'm coming. Okay, just listen. Just listen. Which is where we're going to the weeks to come. You leave today knowing that God hears your prayer, whatever it is, where you're at, whether it's despair or not. God hears your prayer. He loves you. He cares for you. That he's an omnipotent God. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? And he loves you. Let's pray. Father, may we take the opportunity to just talk to you. That's what prayer is. But when we talk to you, we're talking to the most powerful creator, the all-knowing, and God will change our hearts and our lives. It will help our perspective to see from your perspective. So God, I pray that more than the theology of prayer, we will take the practice of prayer put in our life. Not to establish some great goal, some great expectation, but God, just in every event in our life, every moment of our life, that perhaps we'll start to think, I'm going to pray to God about this. And we'll come to you, and we have that freedom, that choice of you. So thank you today that we can do that. Thank you that we can pray. Thank you that we don't have to be anxious, we can just trust in you. So God, thank you for this morning. I pray that you would be good to give every heart here. I pray that again they would understand they're not here by mistake. You're here by design. Thank you for loving us today. For it's in your Son's name. Amen. Awesome.